From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, the show about Windows internals and Microsoft internals. And what do we got today? We got something you've been working on.
I actually worked on this 1 or 2 years ago now, and it's just been part of Windows 10, so we haven't been able to really talk about it. So there's
Until now.
And we code this both for internal and external use. We use this extensively inside Microsoft. And the tool is Symbol Proxy, SymProxy. And as the name suggests, it's a proxy server for symbols. Mm-hmm. And the main difference between version one that's always shipped with a debugger and this one is we really beefed up the logging and telemetry on it. And we also added negative caching rather than positive caching. So the proxy, I mean, normally when you have a symbol path, you download the file from a web server or something and then put it into a local file system. And that's really your cache, your positive cache. Mm-hmm. But if you've asked msdl.microsoft.com download symbols,
right,
do you have this file? And the answer was no. Odds are, if you ask that same question a minute later, the answer is still going to be no.
Still not going to have that file.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you incur this 2-3 second round trip working this out when the answer could have been told to you, the answer's no, and told you in a millisecond.
Yeah. Don't you remember? I already told you I don't have that file.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's exactly what it does. And so a lot of the performance counters and stuff that have been added, it didn't have any ETW logging, it didn't have any performance counters, all that got added. A lot of that shows you the efficiency of the cache. Mm. And so, we're going to run through the install. There is a whole lot of documentation about this. I actually, I wrote all this.
Look at this.
Sat down for a week and made all this pretty stuff for everybody.
Looks like you used some Visio.
Yeah, this picture actually came from the V1 code, but it's still the same architecture. But most of the text around it is all brand new.
Excellent.
So there's a couple of ways you can configure this. You can configure this at a massive scale, so you might want to use it as a bridgehead inside a corporation. It can be done for security reasons. Maybe only certain users have access to websites and proxy users. Mm-hmm. And so you can run the proxy as an account and then anonymous users can access it for that purpose.
Right.
You can use it to bridge firewalls. So like if you could put it on a dual homed system, on one side you may not normally are able to have routable traffic. So you put this on a dual home thing across the two networks and allow it to route traffic through it. But also you can use it personally, and I have this configured on my boxes, it's a great cache, right? Mm-hmm. And so, because I debug so much and I access the same files over and over again, particularly I'll look at 10 dumps of the same issue. Mm-hmm. Well, the first one's slow to load, but when I open the second, third, fourth, fifth,
right,
it already knows the answer's no, don't waste your time. And you can bring your load times down considerably.
And obviously most of the dumps that you open, you're not gonna have all the symbols because they're third-party applications.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah, you waste a lot of time trying to find symbols that you're not going to have, right?
Yeah.
So this is a way to optimize that.
Now, by default, it runs with I think it's a one-hour cache. I run with also that as the default 1 hour. I have tried for 15 minutes. I just found that it wasn't worth it. The symbol servers behind it just aren't updated that frequently.
Right.
And so, I mean, 1 hour is not that. It's big enough to actually definitely have effect, but it's not that long that you're missing. It's not like 24 hours where you probably are getting a little bit too long on your time to live. Mm-hmm. And so, it's an IIS application. So let's go through the whole process. I'm actually going to install it like a local user. So from this point on, this machine is going to use SymProxy to resolve symbols, so it'll be faster. I haven't actually installed it here. So what we're going to need is IIS. Now this box actually doesn't have IIS installed, so I'm going to actually go through the whole process and show you how to do everything.
Great.
What we're going to need is IIS. We're going to need the management tools, so that's the IIS manager, the
console
thingy, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to need World Wide Web. Now the defaults on Windows 8, and I'm assuming Windows 10, actually are really close to what you want. Under applications, the only thing you're going to need to add is an IIS filter. That's the technology this uses. Mm. Under HTTP features, default document, it's not really going to get used in this scenario, but it's not a bad thing to have. Directory browsing is useful because you are actually looking at just a file system. And so it's not like any web page. The filter is saying, hey, I wanted this file, you don't have it in your cache. It goes off, pulls it back, puts it in your cache, and then continues on as if the file had always existed. HTTP errors, it's always good to have that just so when things go awry, you get that nice web page. Mm-hmm. And then static content. So this is the crux of what it is. You're going to be pulling a file off a disk and just delivering it over HTTP. Roughly, you are a file server.
Standard old school web server stuff.
Yeah. Health and diagnostics. It's always cool to have HTTP logging. It just makes things easier to work out what's going on. And static content compression. Debatably, you can turn this on and off. It means that the download is going to be compressed. Compressing PDBs and exes is expensive, though. Mm. You'll get some benefit, but it's not like it's a text file or website where it definitely does help. Mm. Based on your CPU availability and stuff, you know, if you've got Grunt available, sure. It doesn't really matter either way. And then for my one, I'm going to do no authentication, so I don't need anything. And request filtering is just URL mod, making sure that people aren't hacking the URL. It's just a sanity module.
Seems good.
So, by default, we're very close. The only thing I had to do, as I said, was turn on ISAPI filters, which is not on by default.
All right.
So let's get that installed. And hopefully this won't take too long.
Got your SSD on this machine.
I do.
Let's hope that goes fast.
It might have to...
Oh, I hope you don't have to reboot. Do you have to reboot?
I don't. This IIS is a non-reboot system because it's not running yet.
All right.
It's not going to...
Nothing, no files locked or anything.
Yeah. And there we go. Thank you, Windows.
Not bad at all.
So now we have IIS, so I'm just going to pin this to my taskbar because it's going to be useful. Now... I don't want the we don't need anything to do with application development on this one. It's going to be much more as a fundamental layer. So one of the annoying things or the side effects of the way the symbol protocol works is it always wants to download stuff as octet streams. Actually, I've already done it on this one, unfortunately. But normally you'd have a whole lot of mind maps. Mm. Yeah, you'd say .asp maps to an ASP program, SPX goes to ASP program. Unfortunately, you need all of the various combinations. So like CPL and .sys and .dll and all the other ones, you need to download them as an octet stream. Now, if you know what they all are, you could just type them all in. Unfortunately, by default, a lot of them actually are mapped to other things. And so you are going to be updating it. Because the proxy really shouldn't be used or at least this website shouldn't be used for any other purpose, you shouldn't be putting one virtual directory for the symbols and another virtual directory for the apps. You really should have separate websites. Because of that, the install script actually sets the MIME, all MIME types to octet stream from the root, right? And it does that because this filter applies to the website and below. And you can have multiple virtual directories under that, but you need to do that, and I'll show that installation as we do it. Okay. Now, as you work through all this, this explains all these concepts, and this is pages and pages and pages. I think it's about 20 or 30 pages in Word that gets translated into a web page. Mm-hmm. So there's a fair bit of content here. It goes through a lot of theory about SYNPROXY. Actually, that's just the SYNPROXY area. There's also all these other areas about the symbol protocol and what the public symbol server is. Mm-hmm. Lots and lots of things about how symbol resolution works and, you know, when the cache is used and the difference between SRV star and SRV star star and all these other weirdities.
I should probably read that sometimes. I usually just sort of hack it until it works.
Well, when I was coding this, I was trying to, you know, make it right for all the different scenarios. Mm-hmm. And I found that there was a lack of documentation for it.
Yeah.
And so this document, which we have in our document repository to represent this area was quite weak, but it was the only reference I could find. So we got the funding and we decided just to spend a whole week of my time doing research on the fundamentals and looking at the source code and writing it down explicitly what exactly happens.
Beef up the docs.
And that's where a lot of my knowledge, so all this stuff, that the underscore NT stuff on the SRV stuff, but also the this one, where this knowledge came from, is actually part of, it talks about that type of stuff and why it exists. Yeah. So, and also why the symbol folder is called sim, like my/sim rather than symbols and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, once you get to the sim proxy area, there's a whole lot of steps, step by step by step by step to install it. And you know, it's quite frankly laborious and long because there's lots of settings for how you do the ETW stuff, how you do the performance monitor stuff, how you do IIS, how you do the application pull, and it goes on and on and on. If you want to just automate it, there's a script, and it's right here, right?
Nice.
And so you specify the folder where it's going to be, username and password. I mean, the password's in clear text when you type this, that's what happens. Wherever the files are, it copies it into certain folders. It, in particular, certain things have to be in certain folders for this to work.
Mm-hmm.
This is registering the performance counters. This is registering the ETW. This is registering the default public type configuration. And then the rest of it is configuring IIS. And then you actually need this other XML file for the MIME stuff, which is actually, this clear command is actually used for the MIME map. So I actually have got those two files down, and I should show it this way. Simproxy DLLs are available as part of the debugger. We went through this 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Simproxy folder, and I've the two files in the documentation, I've just copied them out of the web page and pasted them in here.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and so. Which command prompt was it? This one. So now we have an install, and if we do a directory of the my folder, we have our symbols in sim. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to run the website against our symbol server locally, but also point the debugger to the same folder. So by default, you won't even call the symbol server because you look in the folder first. It's not there. It goes to the symbol farm. He goes, have you got it? He goes, oh, I can get that for you. It downloads it, puts it in that folder,
mm-hmm.
and then when it starts streaming the file back over HTTP, it goes, hang on, I've already got the file you're talking about with the same size, the same date. Don't worry about that download. I'll just use the one I've already got. And so you actually avoid the HTTP download, and you also avoid the HTTP lookup in the first place. So using the same at the same time helps you with that. So that's... install that, and then I'm going to be sim, and then we're going to have a username and password, and this is where we're going to have to edit it out. So I'm going to type in the password after this, and then Golnaz is going to do some editing trickery and hide it. So is that okay, Golnaz?
Yep.
All right, she said yes. So
the voice from above says yes.
So.
Okay.
So the script is run. I've scrolled it off the top of the screen so you can't see the password. And it's done all these things. It's installed the files and done lots of things. So at this point, if we go back into IIS Manager, you'll see that we now have the default website, symbols. This points to the folder on the hard drive, CSIM. And this is where, if you want to, under that folder, if you make an index2.txt, it will use that other file format. It will use the multi-tier format. So if you have like this WK blah, blah, blah one, it will make a folder called WK and then put it under it. So before you begin, you need to decide which format you're going to be in.
Yeah.
Currently, this is running the flat way. Either way, is supported. But we get a symbol farm. So this one represents one symbol thing. So you can have multiple of these. So you could make another virtual directory and then make more and more of these if you wanted. Now, within a, as that last episode, within each virtual directory, where's Microsoft? You can have multiple symbol lookups. And so this web directory's folder and symbols matches the IIS virtual directory name, right? Mm-hmm. And so currently it's looking at MS symbols. Now this is not a symbol path. This is a semicolon separated path. So I could say foo and also look up my company symbols. And then you might actually want another HTTP website, you know, like I know that Cisco, Citrix has one, you know, citrix.com/symbols or whatever it is, right?
Right.
And what will happen is each of these ones will be looked up individually. It'll look up the first one. And so it'll make it will fabricate a symbol path called SRV star, then just that. It will look up that. And then it will look up the next one, and then the next one, and the next one. And so you can look up multiple things. So if you know that you will regularly need to look up Microsoft and say Citrix, you put them both in here. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean Citrix is going to get cached inside Microsoft, and it doesn't mean all those other things. It's just individual things that you can look up. So within a virtual directory, it can look up multiple sites, but you can have multiple virtual directories that look up other things, mm-hmm. right?
Okay.
So let's just keep it to what we want the default to be, which is the Microsoft Symbol Server. The more common example of this, I should actually point it out, is, you know, my branch office. Well, you're in a branch office. Mm. You're in a branch office, and you want to look up the branch office, which also might be running its own symbol server. Mm. And then if it doesn't find it in the branch office, in the main office to pull down to the branch office then goes off the internet and looks it up, right?
Gotcha.
Or it might be a share which represents your internal build system or something like that, right? So wherever it is, you can have multiple. Now, in the root directory, we have all of the timings. Now, by default, everything is set so that you don't actually need a registry key. And just for documentation reasons and stuff, we've actually given you all the registry keys and just put X on the front to disable them.
Oh.
And so you don't have to go look at what can I do, right? This is what you can do. This is the list.
I see. So none of these take any effect right now
because
of the X.
Okay. And as I said, I've even put a string at the top saying remove the X to use the setting, right?
Very nice.
And it also is, the value is also the default, as in what it's actually running as right now.
Right.
Right. And so no internet proxy is one of the ones that is semi-useful. If you know that between you and the internet there is no proxy, turn on this and it will get rid of some overhead of negotiating with the proxy subsystem of Windows in WinHTTP.
Oh, like that auto detect proxy.
Yeah, and all that stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
So it gets rid of that overhead and doesn't make you do that. And then the other one is missed timeout. Now this is, it's in seconds. This is defaulting to 3600, which is 1 hour, which means you will not see, it won't try to revalidate the request for an hour after the first request for that.
Right.
And so that's not a bad value. The other ones that you might want to play with is miss age timeout. So every time someone touches the history of the miss, the time is moved forward.
Mm-hmm.
But if nobody has ever asked for that symbol again, after a certain amount of time, we throw it out of the cache, because otherwise the cache is just going to grow and grow and grow with Delta and you'll run out of memory.
Mm-hmm.
And so this currently is default to 7 days. So if someone hasn't asked for it in 7 days, we will flush it out of the cache and we check the cache once per hour. So you'll see it grow and grow and grow, and then it will drop down a little bit every hour as this old legacy stuff that's unnecessary gets thrown out. And within Windows, you know, within Microsoft, obviously we build Windows every day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't want a cache that holds a build from 28 builds ago that nobody's going to touch. Right?
No one's running anymore.
Yeah. And then most of these other things are to do with safety. This failure stuff is actually, if you get this many errors in this many periods, don't use that symbol server again for this many seconds, right? So if it times out for 45 seconds this many times within 2 hours or within 2 minutes, and then turn that symbol server off for 15 minutes.
Oh, so this is like if the symbol server's down or something.
Yeah, because otherwise every time you talk to it, it may not be down, it may just be timing out. So it's not as if you're talking to it, you know, the DNS is gone. Mm. It may be there, but it just might be taking 45 seconds or whatever to time out, mm-hmm. which means it's slowing down the whole system. So if it's important to get throughput mm-hmm. rather than accuracy, then you can take off a badly behaving system. Great example is these UNC shares, which are on another, you know, in a different office. You know, if the link's down, the link's down. Don't waste time trying to ask for it. Yeah. And so you can take that out of rotation, and it does it individually for each of those servers.
So it'll stop asking for 15 minutes yeah. by default or whatever.
Log level is actually a legacy key from the old system. I don't think there's actually anything anymore that's affected by it. I think it exists for no good reason. I think ETW covers nearly every single log event now, so I think they've all been replaced. So right. I don't think this used to go to a text file or an event log or something. That's all gone. Message we did file cache. So we don't recommend you use this. This was an experimental feature that we never decided to get rid of. The thing is, IIS reboots, which means the memory cache is flushed. So if you do turn file cache on, it will actually keep the memory cache as a file on the hard drive. Mm. And so it will remember it that way. The problem is it causes a huge amount of I/O on the disk. Mm. So if you have a really fast disk and your IIS is rebooting, then they're gonna pick it up off the timeout off the disk and then treat it as if there was no restart. But it has an I/O overhead, so there's a cost-benefit analysis there. If you're only asking one back-end symbol server the question, then probably don't enable the feature. But if you're going to be asking four or five back-end systems that may be more remote, so if you're talking more like an international type problem, mm-hmm. like Australia back to US, that type of thing, mm-hmm. it may actually be worth keeping your cache alive. Because your IIS will recycle you. And that's the other option you can do, is you can twiddle the IIS recycle, and we'll talk about that in a sec. No cache says don't bring down the file, just bring down the reference of where the file is. So instead of bringing it down to the local disk and then serving it, it actually just returns the path that you can get to it from some remote point. No file pointer support. So there's you can say, I don't want to ever support file.ptr. If you only are running as a cache rather than running as a server serving out a build share, so if you're doing sim check and all those things and sim repository stuff and actually populating the cache as well with build system, you need file pointers turned on. If you're only using it as a cache, then you can turn file pointers off, and that will actually get rid of 1/3 of the overhead in looking up a symbol. No internet proxy I talked about, and no uncompressed. So when you talk to msdl.microsoft.com, it comes down as a compressed file. By default, it decompresses it and puts the compressed file in the share, not the uncompressed one. Mm-hmm. If you've got hard drive space issues and you want to deliver compressed files back to the client, once again, turn that off. I recommend you don't do that. So that's all the settings. As I said, application pulls. I like to twiddle this a bit, because by default you're losing the benefit of the cache. And so one of the things it does is it terminates it when it's idle. Well, that's really bad, because that means the memory ghost cache is now thrown away. So mm-hmm. you want it to suspend rather than terminate. The other thing is it's going to recycle every 21 hours by default. And so if you say don't recycle, it's going to stay perpetually running. So that one W3WP instance will stay forevermore. Mm. And personally, I don't also like the idle doing that, so I tend to bump it up. There's a big number here. I always forget what it is. So there's an easy way. You type in a big number. Mm-hmm. It complains. It tells you that the number is 43,200. And then you type in 43,200. And so it's going to be running always. There's no, I mean, you're suspending something that it's got no overhead, sitting there doing nothing. So it's not as if it's burning CPUs. The problem with the suspend is you're also not running any of the code that flushes the cache every hour. And so you're actually keeping this memory overhead that you don't need to keep. So you're actually better off running it. The other thing I do is because it needs to run this stuff always, is when I boot Windows, I run it straight away. Yeah. Now, if your password rolls, you know, go in here and update it when your password rolls, if you need to change.
Supposed to be an S in that, I think. Defrag tools.
Oh, that's a good point.
Typo maybe in the batch file or something, right?
Well, I know I typed it on the command line, but
right.
But it,
or when you.
That's well, actually, this is one of the most annoying dialogues. You can't actually copy paste the previous one. So this one.
And it will actually block the password.
Yeah, right? So we're good.
Fixed.
And then it's, I'm going to recycle that just for the sake of it. So that's now running. So that account's running against this virtual directory. So let's bring this into action, right? So we'll bring out some, let's look up some stats. And so performance monitor. And actually before performance monitor will work, I actually have to run it. So I'm just going to get all these things ready. And let's debug a file. So by default, our environment variable, and I know that this solitaire one, our environment variable is giving us msdls.microsoft.com. So let's do a reload force. I have an alias that PDE added. It's .reload/F. And this is going to the internet and looking things up. And it wasn't too slow against the internet in this case, because I have a lot of it pre-populated. If I do it again, it's going to be equally as slow.
Yeah.
Right? It's not bad.
Not too bad.
Right. So instead of going to the internet, let's go to the local IIS. Now, this is going to be, it's going to seem a little bit slower because the cache has got to build up its cache. And what we're going to see under performance counters, now it's running, there's going to be an instance, which means we can actually track it. Because unfortunately, if it's not running, there's no counters to see. Just look at the totals. And then here's all our counters. And then we can see, I think it finished. Oh, it's still working. Requests per second. And you can see one or two requests per second, or three or four to six per second are coming in. And that's all these happening. Now, this is looking them up and adding it to the cache. Now, a lot of these, that's zeros.
I think it finished.
Yeah. Going to make these a bit bigger because it's kind of it's designed to be it's the defaults are scaled for production load rather than you know local desktop. So now that went through the cache last time and you can see it went through localhost. If I do it this time,
bang,
right? And
so every time you open a dump of solitaire now for the next hour,
it's going to be cached.
It'll be that fast.
And here's the stats, right? So during this period here, what was happening is it was doing lots of downloads. So what contention is all about it being overloaded, it only happens in massive server farms. And even then, the contention's nothing to worry about. File caching, as I said, is this disk-based stuff. We haven't got that disabled, so that's irrelevant. Cache age is one of those things you go, how long are things been in the cache on average? And across the whole farm, it averages it out. As in for the requests that are active, it's a stat that's kind of pointless, but it's kind of fun to have. And then hits, entries, and entries. So currently we are remembering 51 misses, right? And then the increase, these over here, let me just bump this up a bit to times 10. You can see that as those requests were coming in, it was saying, I don't have the file that's added to the cache. Mm-hmm. And so it was adding between 1 and 2 per second when it was being asked to look these things up, mm-hmm. right? And decrease, what happened is when you find something and it removes it from the cache, so you'll get positive and negative. Mm-hmm. And then when you do that reload, we were getting up to 30 requests per second. So from over here, we know you actually only get about one or two per second throughput. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing it through the cache, you get about 30. And that's actually quite similar to the timings we see. We know that the average dump file in the Watson pipeline mm-hmm. used to take 33 seconds without the cache, and we now know it takes 3 seconds with the cache. And so it's actually very analogous to write this, right? By right. having the cache in front of it, we get a speed up. So when things download, you'll get all these counters. So you can say for things like other PDBs, obviously it's when PDBs come down, and other is everything else. That's when XEs and DLLs and SIS files and CPLs and OCXs and all them come down. So you can see the size of it, or how many you're doing per second, and how much bandwidth you're using, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of really all there is to that. Yeah. So what the last thing is left to do is to bring up the system properties, and we did this last week as well, environment variables, and go, you know what? I like this. Let's make that the default. All right, so now by default, we're going to open up with localhost, which means that if I go back to that folder which had that dump file, and we'll close this one down and open it up again, reload force, bam, right.
Very fast.
And you really get addicted to it. You'll go to somewhere else and you go, wow, that's slow. Yes, that's right. The proxy's missing. So, great way of things going fast. Now, to end this, I thought it would be kind of cool to see what else we've got logged. I showed you what was happening in Process Monitor, but there's also ETW events. Now, the ETW provider can be turned on and you can log it that way. But it also has channel turned on. And channel means it turns up in this area in the event viewer under application. And this one's, because it's part of Windows, comes under Microsoft Windows. And then sim proxy has its own area. Has two logs, admin and operational. Admin spits out once per hour what the configuration is. It also says, remember how I was talking about that blackout feature? Mm. It tells you what the statistics are for the blackouts. Now currently this is listing a path and then two stat lines. If you had two paths in it, it would be those three lines and it would be repeated a little bit lower. It tells you about the all those registry keys. It just tells you what they all are, and then it turns a lot of them into nice plain English explaining what happens. The other thing you'll get, and it hasn't happened yet, is when I was talking about aging it out of the cache because you don't want it, once per hour, it'll spit out an event log saying what the statistics are. It'll show you how big the cache is, what the diversity is. You know, I've got 15,000 in the MS folder because Microsoft has so many in the SY for system, but there's only 23 in the AB folder or something, right? Yeah. So it'll give you the breadth of that. And you can grab that thing, paste it into Excel, and then make a nice graph and go ooh and ah. So the admin log, these are both 1 megabyte logs. They're quite small by design just to roll around and clear themselves. Mm-hmm. Admin's very low level amount of logging. And then there's also operational log, which is actually every single request.
Oh, wow.
And so this is every request that came in and explains what the deal is. So this thing in a production environment won't even hold a second worth of data.
Right.
Right. But if you're on a local box where it's a bit slower and manageable, it will show, you can look at what the deal is. So if you're running something like Windows Performance Toolkit or something, you can go, why don't I have the sim for this? You can look up that and say, hey, look, yes, it's not available. This is what's going on.
And that's a very good point, is this will work for Windows Performance Toolkit, pulls down symbols, it'll speed that up.
Yep.
Anything that uses symbols. The process explorer, any of the sys internals tools that use proc.
Anything like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually have a log here from production. So we run one of these farms in production. It runs at about 25,000 requests per second. So you get the scale of it. So, you know, nothing like the 2 per second we're seeing here.
That's a lot.
A lot more. And so I thought it might just be fun to have a look at you know, this how big this can get if you run it at scale.
And this is the incoming Windows error reporting.
This dumps, is the Watson farm.
All the dumps that get uploaded everywhere in the world.
Yeah. And this is, we run a farm of these. So mm-hmm. we have, you know, a farm of proxies talking to a 50 terabyte cache mm-hmm. and which rolls. And the cache, if you want to know how to clean it up, you just use HStore, which is part of the debugger, to clean up the cache and get rid of the old files that aren't being used. Mm. So what I actually did is I deliberately chose this trace file. I did it on purpose to show you what happens when you do an IIS reset and what the effect is on the proxy when you do it. And so what happened at this point here is an IIS reset was done, or a recycle of the app pool.
Yeah.
So it was running with 196,000 misses, mm-hmm. right? So a lot more diversity. And then you'd probably would get personally on your own local box, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And for us, that's actually a low number. Actually, we've seen higher numbers than that and lower numbers than that. Because there's a farm of proxies, one request will come into one, and he can populate the cache, and then someone comes in to another proxy server, and it looks at the cache and goes, "Hang on, it's on the disk. You shouldn't have asked me this question," and just returns it from the cache rather than going off to a symbol server to download it. And so this is what the decrease is. It also is, if it's never seen before, the counter goes up on discovery of if it's not been made, and then at whenever it's downloaded, which may be 1, 2, 3, 5 seconds later, it will decrease it by one. So while the existence of the hash is known, it goes up, and until it's downloaded, it will stay up there and then it goes down. And so as you get requests, it'll go up and then down. So you can see this particular machine was humming along at, it was creating 100, on average, creating 30 new misses per second. Mm. All right, so that's a lot to be missing.
Yeah.
And it was traced, this one was at this particular time was running around 1,000 requests per second against the cache. Now that doesn't represent symbol requests, actually this is it. So this particular machine was running at 3,500 requests per second from the farm, and this is one of many in a proxy farm. So cache hits is, there's a lot of requests, there's a lot of overhead in the symbol protocol, and it actually can throw a lot away without actually even having to check the cache. It knows that if you say no file pointers, for example, it says, when I get a file pointer request, it just says no. I'm not even going to look at the disk. I'm not going to waste I/O on the disk to look at something I know I don't want to support. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said that's where you can save some time. And then also the no uncompressed one as well does another one. And so you can cancel 2 out of the 3 requests, which is why you tend to get a 3-to-1 ratio of requests to missed cache hits. And then, duration. So this is where we did a reboot, right? Well, most of the time it's saying no, 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 no. But after the reboot, its cache is gone. And so every request that comes in has to go ask a symbol server what the deal is. So
that's your overhead.
The average overhead goes up. But if you look at, you know, this period, you'll find that it's down in sub-millisecond is the average, where a lookup can be usually about 30, 40, 50, even maybe 100, 200 milliseconds minimum. And definitely with network latency, you can get up to 1 or 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is all about what did we actually do? So 5-ish out of every second, we're finding it in the cache already because some proxy's already done it. And about 780 per second, 1,000 per second, it's not finding it. This is how often it's talking to a symbol server in the back end to revalidate it. So you get asked for the file, and then if the time to live on the miss is timed out, it then goes and asks again.
Yeah.
And so out of the 1,000-ish coming in per second, only 70 are being forwarded to the back end server. So only 470 are going to msdl.microsoft.com, right? Which means you're getting rid of a huge amount of overhead on your internet pipe for no good reason, right?
Right.
And then here's our stats as we searched before. So like, PDBs downloading at maximum 3 per second. Xe's in this trace, nothing was coming down for executables in this period. And then size-wise, actually maybe it's just, oh, there was a two, it's just scaled wrong. Executables, you know, the biggest executable that came down was 8 megabytes. Mm-hmm. The biggest symbol that came down was 240 megabytes.
That's a big symbol.
Yeah. So a really good example of if you have a server, a proxy farm with a cache on it that has a great network connectivity to where the data can come from that needs to be collected, like maybe a gigabit or 10 gigabit NIC, you can then offer that stuff out much more efficiently to other people. And it also stops a lot of people banging away at the back end server. You can move that network load off of the servers that usually are stressed. These build servers tend to be stressed because they're doing builds, right? And they're trying to do I/O to actually write it to disk. Yeah. You can move that cost out. And then single server duration, you know, averaging 44 milliseconds when you actually do a call in this environment. So I thought kind of cool to watch. It can be used at scale. It can be used individually. Mm-hmm. Makes the debugging experience great, as we saw before. I can go reload every single, and I am done in, I don't know, 3 seconds, whatever it is. And a lot of this is actually loading the PDB the first time, because it's actually, it's not actually the lookup, it's actually the load off the disk of the ones that exist, is the slowness. So obviously all the disk file caching flushed out.
Gotcha.
But when I do this again at the end. Yeah.
Right.
Cache, it's a great thing.
So this has actually sped up the amount of dump files that we can process Watson files significantly, right?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't change the number we processed. We just reduced our...
The overhead.
Overhead, the overhead of the service, and bang.
The second time's very fast.
Yeah. So, it's not. It didn't really change what we capture. There's no real difference. We just have to use way less servers.
Way less hardware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And servers cost money, right?
Yeah.
And so, and there's benefits to being faster. You know, you get, from the moment you get a crash and it gets in the pipeline, if it's only taking a couple of seconds to process, it means it's going to be in a report faster.
Right? Yeah.
So rather than having some inherent delay, so... But if doing anything faster is always a good thing.
Sim proxy, so people can set that up on their internal build server kind of environment where they're putting their symbols up.
Just even if you just if you have that one file server in your office that you're caching your local symbols to, just shove it on there and use it as the MSDL, Microsoft.com download symbols gateway,
right.
Just so that everybody shares a cache. Even just from a sharing cache point of view, it's great, right?
Yeah.
Only needs to get downloaded once. It doesn't need to get that downloaded to every single desktop individually.
And every
just put it in the middle one.
Every developer can just point to that and speed things up.
And then if someone, if the person who's controlling that realizes that, there's a need for some of these third-party ones like Chrome and Safari and Citrix. There's about the MSDN documentation has a list of all the ones that we know about. Mm. There's about 10 or 20 in the list. You might want to add them to the proxy.
Public symbol servers.
Yeah. So, but enjoy it. Send us feedback. I haven't really touched it now for a couple of years, but. It happened just after 8.1 was shipped, so we couldn't talk about it. So we've been waiting for the Windows 10 SDK to come out. So
cranking. So now it's all out there.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's our show for this week. As always, if you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes down below, or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com.
And not Outlook.com. That's just a MSA.
Oh, right.
Oh, okay. I don't read that one.
It's a real one. We just don't actually get the email.
I should forward it, actually. Yeah.
You probably should. You never know.
Yeah.
You're probably just full of spam or something.
Yeah.
Or it will be after this. All right. Thanks for watching. And tune in next week. We'll have something else interesting for you.
Definitely.
Bye.
See you next week.